Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From Philippians chapter 3 this morning. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. It wasn't just for the children, obviously, right? It's a healthy reminder for us at how sometimes even the great things can become God things that obscure things. Paul is writing to the Philippians, and he's talking about all of the amazing things that he has been given. He talks about his qualifications as a Hebrew of Hebrews, somebody who far surpasses everybody in righteousness and does all of the right things, and yet he counts all of those things, as he says, as loss, or to use a very crass term, he says, we translate it as rubbish. It's probably better translated as a word that we don't say in church, that stands for something that your horse leaves behind as he walks away. That's how strongly Paul felt about all of the stuff of his earthly life, all of his qualifications. And we're no different, I don't think. I mean, we all have things in this life that we are very, very attached to, things we strive hard for. And as I said to the kids, there are lots of great things. And there's nothing wrong with great things. It's when those great things become the only thing that it becomes a problem. We don't usually realize it until it's too late either. We don't realize that we've allowed the great things to cloud our judgment or our vision or our faith even until we feel tired from it. All of these things, as the kids pointed out, vacations and, well, chocolate, family, school, video games. I know y'all are big video game people out there. Springtime, money, all of these things. They can wear you out. You might not necessarily get filled up by them. You get worn out by them. Because there's something about these great things that we as sinful human beings really struggle with. They become the thing that we pursue, the thing that our heart is into. And it becomes all-consuming. And we strive so much for all of these things that they wear us out. And the thing about God and the thing about faith is that it neither really pushes their own agenda. And I say that because when we're pursuing these things, not often, God doesn't step in and stop us. Occasionally he does. And it's usually in a real get your attention kind of way. For example, if your pursuit is all about money, God will usually step in and stop that pursuit in a way that takes it all away. And it's not until it's taken all away that you realize just how much you had invested in it. Vacation, family, all of those things. You don't realize just how they've replaced God until they're not there anymore. It's a challenging thing to balance life in this world and faith in God. We talk a lot in our circles about how culture has changed and people have wandered away from the faith and they're so less religious than we used to be, and especially our young people, they wander away and get distracted. But how often have we all done the same thing? Our distractions are just different. We get distracted easily in the pursuit of all of these things. Paul mentions all of those things that he would rather get rid of if he could replace them with faith in Christ. And if it were that easy to just sort of say, all right, I'm just gonna get rid of all of those and it'll all be about Jesus. How wonderful would that be? Just to say, yeah, one day I'm all about this, but the next day, no, I'm not about that. I'm just about Jesus now. Usually what happens then is it just kind of goes in circles around and around. Some days you're all about these, and the next day you're all about just, and it just gets to be tiring, like everything else. Paul knew what it was like to be tired of the chasing. He had been arrested and put in jail and thrown in a boat, and then the ship got wrecked, and then he was beaten, and then he was cast out and run out of town on a rail, and he had known tired. But it didn't stop him from pursuing Christ. And lest we think, well, back then they didn't have as many distractions as we have now. Nothing's different. There were still, food. Chocolate was a commodity. Family. There were schools. There weren't video games, but there were other kinds of gaming distractions. There were still seasons and there was still money. All of those things. So what do we do when we're spinning in circles, constantly distracted, weary of trying to figure it all out? Well, we can keep doing it. That's one option. We can keep trying and keep spinning and keep working and keep striving and try and do all of the right things all of the time. And we can keep wearing ourselves out. Or we can, like Paul, be reminded of the cross. And we can look there. We can look there for rest. We can look there for what Christ has done for us. We can rest in the peace that is ours in Christ. We can look to all of those beatings, sufferings that Jesus endured. And like our hymn just said, we can be reminded that the tomb he took was supposed to be ours. The death he died was supposed to be ours. But the life he gives, that's what's ours. Paul says that he strives that he may know him, it says, in the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that Paul's trying to work it. and trying to earn it. But what he's saying is, by any means necessary. So that means if I have to get rid of all of the vacations, never eat chocolate again, not have my family, not go to school, luxuries, all of the things that would distract us, if we have to give it all up, and one day you will. One day none of that will count for anything. But what will count is what Christ did on the cross. What will count is what he did after he rested in the tomb for 3 days. What will count is that glorious resurrection that he gives to us. That he says to you and to me, you are my children. You are my chosen people. You are the ones to whom I give this life everlasting. Paul concludes this part of his letter by saying, I press on toward the upward goal of the prize, the call of God in Christ Jesus, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. All of this stuff, looking ahead, keeping his eyes fixed on the cross, knowing that everything there is fulfilled. Everything there is at peace. So if you're tired of trying, of spinning your wheels, of going around and around, look to the cross. Find that rest there in him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, that is ours only in Christ Jesus, guard our hearts and our minds, keeping us firm in that faith until the day he calls us home. Amen.